From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms 2022 World Cup amputee soccer team should prepare well. Minister Marsudi leads Indonesia-Australia Timor-Leste meeting. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo called on the Indonesian amputee soccer team to make all-out efforts in preparing themselves in order to make Indonesians proud at the 2022 Amputee Football World Cup. As reported by Antara, the president remarked on Wednesday that once again he has entrusted to raise the name of the country, raise the name of Indonesia, hence they should have good preparation, training and discipline, so that their achievement will truly make all of Indonesian people proud. The president made the statement while welcoming the board of the Indonesian Amputee Football Association, PSAI, as well as athletes and coaches of the National Amputee Soccer Team at the State Palace, Jakarta. The president expressed delight over the achievement of the national team for qualifying for the tournament to be held in Istanbul, Turkey, on October 1st to 9, 2022. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi chaired the Indonesia-Australia Timor-Leste trilateral meeting in New York on Tuesday to discuss joint efforts to accelerate economic recovery. Among other things, as reported by Antara on Wednesday, the meeting, which was held on the sidelines of the 77th UN General Assembly, was attended by Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong and Timor-Leste Foreign Minister Adalgisa Magno, besides Marsudi. During the meeting, the three foreign ministers discussed several areas of cooperation, including connectivity, food security and energy, which are considered important to be encouraged. Governor of North Sumatra Edi Rahmayadi appreciated the event of the 43rd Diplomatic Forum of RRI Voice of Indonesia in Medan City. He delivered his remarks via video in Medan on Wednesday. He hoped that the diplomatic forum with the theme North Sumatra Tourism Rises Stronger could disseminate comprehensive information about the tourism potentials of North Sumatra, including the development opportunities of micro, small and medium enterprises in Medan.
Saya berharap penyelenggaraan diplomatic forum oleh lembaga
I hope that the implementation of the diplomatic forum held by RRI, Voice of Indonesia, Public Broadcasting Service in Medan, with the theme North Sumatra Tourism Recover Stronger, will be able to spread the truth about North Sumatra, particularly the tourism sector and its MSMEs to the world, so that there will be more foreign tourists to visit Medan. Moreover, Governor Edi Rahmayadi further pointed out that North Sumatra province has experienced a significant increase in foreign tourist arrivals over the last 1 year. He also said this shows the trust of the foreigners to the Indonesian government and North Sumatra province in handling COVID-19. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno has conveyed that the Indonesian government is committed to continuously encouraging the resilience of North Sumatra province through tourism sector. In his keynote speech video at the diplomatic forum in Medan City on Wednesday, he explained that the central government is ready to collaborate with all local residents and a number of stakeholders in some programs to encourage the resilience of North Sumatra province.
These programs have become a stimulant for local tourism development, job creations and creative business opportunities to improve their durability and agility, recalling the previous progress.
Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno pointed out that the province of North Sumatra has cultural and natural wealth, including the creativity of the local people. He also said this is a capital for North Sumatra to compete in the international arena. Therefore, he appreciated the holding of the diplomatic forum with the theme North Sumatra Tourism Recover Stronger. Then, Minister Sandiaga Uno hoped that this useful discussion could provide a way for North Sumatra to fulfill its potential to become one of Indonesia's international tourism destinations. Indonesia has been designated as the host of the Asia's Rifle Pistol Championship in 2024, which will serve as a qualifying event for the 2024 Paris Olympic for Asian shooting athletes. As reported by Antara, Secretary General of the Executive Board of the Indonesian Target Shooting and Hunting Association, Perbakin, Henry Okal Wednesday informed that 16 best shooters at the Continental Tournament, which will be held at the Senayan Shooting Range, Jakarta in March 2024, will qualify for the Olympic. In the Asia Rifle Pistol Championship 2024 is a big and most awaited tournament since it contests 16 quotas for competing at the 2024 Paris Olympic. Prior to the tournament, Indonesia will hold two other prestigious events, the International Shooting Sport Federation ISSF World Cup Rifle Pistol 2023 from January 27 to February 7, 2023, and the Asian Air Gun Rifle Pistol Cup 2023 from March 1st to 10th, 2023. Let's move it on to the international news, where Malaysian authorities have rescued 15 victims of suspected cybercrime rackets in Cambodia, its foreign ministry said, as the government steps up efforts to help hundreds of its citizens trapped by similar operations across Southeast Asia. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the rescue of the victims who arrived in Kuala Lumpur on Tuesday comes amid raids across Cambodia this week on cybercrime compounds suspected of trafficking people into the country to work in illegal gambling and scam call centers. In a statement late Wednesday, Malaysia's foreign ministry said it had received 301 reports of people trapped by the job scam networks in Cambodia, as well as in Laos, Myanmar, and Thailand. Rescue teams have said that around 200 whales have died and just 35 remain alive following a mass stranding in Australia this week. As reported by CNN.com, the pilot whales were found Wednesday stranded on an exposed beach along the coast of Tasmania. Rescue efforts are ongoing to save the remaining whales. Brendan Clark of the Tasmania Parks and Wildlife Service told the Australia Broadcasting Corporation on Thursday that his side is primarily focused this morning on really getting into the rescue operation and getting the whales released. Listener, now let's move it on to Diplomatic Corner on Indonesian Embassy in Addis Ababa inaugurates the Institute of Afro-Indonesia. The Indonesian Embassy in Addis Ababa in Oromia State University, OSU Ethiopia, inaugurated the opening of the Institute of Afro-Indonesia, IAI, at the university on September 19. The inauguration with carbon cutting was carried out by Indonesian Ambassador to Ethiopia, Djibouti, and the African Union, Al-Bushra Bashnur, together with OSU Chancellor, Dr. Jeremeu Huluka, witnessed by university leaders, lecturers, students, and local government officials. According to the Indonesian Ambassador to Ethiopia, Djibouti, and the African Union, Al-Bushra Bashnur, the Institute of Afro-Indonesia is a strategic institution to continue the commitment and spirit of the Asian African Conference, KAA, held in Bandung, West Java, in 1955, and to enhance future cooperation between Indonesia and Africa, especially Ethiopia. OSU is one of the leading universities in Ethiopia, located in the state of Oromia, about 170 kilometers south of the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa. Presence of IAI aims to increase knowledge, relations and cooperation between Indonesia and Ethiopia as well as other African countries through various activities involving elements and off-campus. Currently, the IAI building presents various photos of the 1955 Asian-African Conference in Bandung and other bilateral activities between Indonesia and Ethiopia. Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on September 22, 1948, when the All Palestine Government was established. The All Palestine Government was established by the Arab League on September 22, 1948, during the 1948 Arab-Israeli War to govern the Gaza area controlled by Egypt. This government was recognized by all members of the Arab League except Jordan. Although it claimed jurisdiction over the whole of the former Mandatory Palestine, its effective jurisdiction was limited to the Gaza Strip. The Prime Minister of the All Palestine Government was Ahmed Hilmi Pasha, while the President was Haj Amin al-Husseini. The All Palestine Government was considered the first attempt to establish an independent Palestinian state. Moving on to an event on September 22, 1980, the start of the Iraq-Iran War. Iraqi troops invaded Iranian territory on September 22, 1980, after the two countries often clashed over protracted border issues. The incident triggered the Iraq-Iran War, which lasted until August 20, 1988. The war ended in a ceasefire as mandated by the United Nations. We end today in history with an event on September 22nd about International Car Free Day. Car Free Day is a campaign to reduce air pollution in big cities around the world. On Car Free Day, people are invited to avoid using motorized vehicles and try to walk, cycle, or take public transportation to reduce pollution. Car Free Day began on November 25, 1956, when the Netherlands held a Car Free Day every Sunday. This activity was followed by other European countries in the following years. On September 22, 2000, the European Car Free Day was held. After that, September 22 was declared as the International Car Free Day. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Tak berharap temukan cintamu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda, waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang kaku, kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, yeah.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu.
Kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang
untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manis.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Sakti Trenggono consolidated 5 blue economy programs with maritime and fishery higher education leaders across Indonesia. This is considered important to optimize sustainable coastal development in a bid to improve welfare of the coastal people. That was stated by Minister Trenggono when giving a keynote speech in the Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Higher Education Leader Forum and a national seminar entitled Society 5.0 and Disaster Resilience for a Sustainable Coastal Development at Diponegoro University in Semarang Central Java on Tuesday. On the occasion, Minister Trenggono explained 5 main blue economy-based programs. First one is water conservation area expansion up to 26.4 million hectares from the 32.5 million hectares target in 2030. The main focus is effective management to maintain blue carbon absorption's function and fish spawning. The second one is a quota-based fish catching in 6 zones set by the government to reduce overfishing so that the fish stock is maintained and well managed. The third one is sustainable fish cultivation increases by encouraging top commodity development such as shrimp, crab, lobster, seaweed, and high economic value dishes. The fourth program is that in keeping the coastal and small island well maintained, the government is fixing the ocean space, coast, and small islands. That includes ensuring activities that use the ocean space to follow the allocation, carrying capacity, and impact mitigation. The last one is Sea Loving Month, namely ocean waste cleaning in Indonesia by involving fishermen. Furthermore, Minister Trenggono also stated that the program implementation will be observed by using a satellite tag and monitoring ship that are connected digitally so that the Indonesian sea is well monitored. That is in line with the hope of Diponegoro University Rector Professor Yos Johan Utama. He said that the maritime and fishery development efforts needs to be done by providing facility, equipment, education, and access for the underprivileged people involved in the maritime and fishery.
Seharusnya kita berdiri hadapi seadanya, coba berpikir dan pahami.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we would like to introduce you to a typical Bondowoso dance, namely the Singo Ulung Dance. This dance is a performance which plays a stuffed lion as a dance attraction, accompanied with traditional music. At first glance, this traditional dance is similar to the lion dance art belonging to the Chinese community. The difference is the stuffed lion used and the dance performance. The Singo Ulung Dance is usually played by two people, and is held to coincide with the month of Sha'ban or Ruah, the Islamic calendar for village cleanup events. In addition, this traditional art is also often played during celebrations, especially during the Bondowoso anniversary celebration every August 16. When dancing, Singo Ulung dancers wear lion costumes which are generally white, but sometimes these dancers also wear black or yellow lion costumes. In the attraction, the Singo Ulung dancers perform dance movements by twirling, jumping, rolling, stacking, or other forms of movements. Even, they often perform amazing stunts by jumping over burning hoops. This attraction is certainly thrilling for the audience as well as entertaining. When dancing, the dancers are accompanied with traditional gamelan musical instruments such as drums and trumpets, as well as song lyrics in the Madurese language. This traditional Bondowoso dance was created by a man named Singo. He comes from Blambangan. Singo left his native area to save himself and lived in Blimbing village, Klabang district, Bondowoso Regency. Singo Ulung and his wife, Nyi Muna, have helped and worked together with the Blimbing village community to create a prosperous life. Therefore, many villagers were proud of him and finally chose him to be the first village head of Blimbing village. One day, an idea came up to create a traditional dance which he named Singo Ulung. This dance was originally played at a traditional ceremony, namely Clean Blimbing Village, which is always held every month of Sha'ban or Ruah of Islamic calendar. VOI International Quiz 2022 is back! 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready! Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Thank you.
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, here is Miscellany. The title of the miscellany for today's edition is University of Gajah Mada Students Turned Salak Pondoh Skin Ways into Tongue Cancer Drug. Salak pondoh or pondoh snake fruit is an Indonesian tropical plant which is a leading commodity from Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta. According to horticultural statistics by the Central Statistics Agency of Yogyakarta Province, salak production in Yogyakarta has continued to increase since 2019. This increase in salak production causes an increase in salak waste, one of which is its peel. Salak pondoh peel is often only thrown away as waste because it is considered unfit for consumption. In fact, the peel of salak pondoh contains various active compounds that are beneficial for the body. Salak pondoh peel is rich in active compounds such as flavonoids, tannins, phenols, triterpenoids, saponins, and alkaloids. These compounds have various benefits for the body, including as an anti-tumor. Knowing the potential contained in the salak pondoh peel, Mutia and Agita Brianisa, Andini Safa Ramadanti, Adventia Pinkan, and Anne Tevi Setiorini, who are members of the Student Creativity Program, Exact Research Universitas Gajah Mada team, conducted a study to explore the potential of salak peel extract as a cancer cell anti-migration agent. Under the guidance of their supervisor, Supriyatno, they researched the use of salak peel as an anti-migration agent for cancer cells, especially tongue cancer. The tongue cancer is a deadly malignant neoplasm that most often occurs in the oral cavity. This type of cancer can spread to the lungs and liver, where one of the important stages of the spread process is migration. The research starts by making peel extract of salak. The extract obtained is then dried and grounded to a powder. The preparation is then immersed in an ethanol solution for 24 hours to obtain a thick extract. Then testing is carried out on the chemotaxis migration inhibition of H357 human tongue cancer cells with various concentrations from the peel extract of salak pondoh. The results also show that the application of salak pondoh peel extract has an effect on reducing cancer cell migration. The decrease in the migration ability of H357 cells may be induced by several active compounds contained in the peel of salak pondoh, such as the flavonoids DDMP, dehydrodeoxyxymethylpyran, and butyrolactone. Although research has shown positive results, further research is still needed in the future to the clinical stage. That's miscellany.
Thank you. kisah lembar jalin asmara yang ada antara diriku dengan cinta. Menjadi teman baikku memudikan bahagia, ataupun tempat terlindung bersama air mata.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you. Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Today's music corner, I will present to you a song by an Indonesian diva, Chris Dayanti. Chris Dayanti, aka KD, won the international competition Asia Bagus in Japan 1992. Since then, her fame rose high. In 1995, KD released her first album, Terserah or Up to You. The album was successful. Afterwards, KD released another album in 1998 titled Sayang or My Love. In this album, KD also joined as her own producer for the first time. One of the greatest hits in this album was Menghitung Hari or Counting Days. The song composed by Melly Goeslaw was about a woman who hoped her love story would end if her man would never be sincere in loving her. Well, listener, here is KD with Menghitung Hari.
Menghitung Hari Masaku nanti apakan ada jelang cerita kisah yang panjang menghitung hari padamkan saja kobar asmara jika putih itu takkan ada yang aku minta tulus hatimu bukan puitis pergi saja cintamu pergi saja kobar asmaramu jika putih itu takkan ada yang aku minta tulus hatimu bukan puitis pergi saja cintamu
biar semua tahu ada
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Selamanya
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. For the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.